Good evening. We've got a short lesson here, and fill in for Chase, of course. He's not doing very well, and his wife's not doing as good, so I hope everything will work out for them. So we'll have this short lesson this evening. You know, I've always wondered and thought how amazing it was when God set the church up and knew that we needed to gather together. You know, and it's how he set this first day of the week aside. You know, and he said, "This is my day for my children." And when we don't do that and we don't come, you know, that's for many others saying that's a bad deal. We should be here for all the blessings that we have and the hope of heaven that we have, and then we forsake the assembly. Or those do. But anyway, we're going to be in 1 Peter most of the time, so if you just want to turn to 1 Peter, we'll get started here on our lesson. God has always had a chosen people. When we look back as we begin the Bible over in Genesis and throughout, Shem through Abraham was a chosen race. Then Abraham through Jacob was a chosen nation. And then from Jacob to Judah was a chosen tribe. And Judah through David was a chosen family. And then from David to Jesus was a chosen person. You know, we Christians, we are God's chosen people today. And Peter paints a portrait of God's people in his first letter to Peter. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 will be our scripture reading. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, that is reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." When we look at that word grieved in verse 6, it can also mean distressed, also can mean to be persecuted. In verse 7, "that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, through now you know not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." In verse 9, "receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." God's people has always been a persecuted people to a certain extent. If you will remember back in Nero's time, this was the first state-sponsored persecution of the church. Nero wanted to rebuild Rome, but this involved tearing down the old part of town, where the poor people lived. So Rome caught fire, and that section was burned where Nero could rebuild it. But they pointed the finger at the Christians. Nero instituted a bloody persecution, and thousands upon thousands were cruelly killed to provide amusements for his guests. And I've probably said this before, but he would take Christians and he would stick them on a pole and put tire on them and light them and stick them out where they would burn, people could walk the path of his garden. And that was Christians that was persecuted in such a way. In other ways, those poor Christians at that time also was thrown into the big arenas that they had, and where they would turn them loose in there and turn wild animals on them to kill them. And it was one thing that was said that I was reading history at part. It said sometimes when they turned those people loose, they would hold hands and they would sing songs. And said someone in the stand says, "Oh, how those Christians love one another." Now, can you imagine that? Being turned into a den of lions with your brothers and sisters in Christ, holding hands and singing songs, knowing what the end result was going to be. So we can see they've been persecuted from the time the church began. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 21 and through 23, let's read those. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 23. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor deceit was found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. We should rejoice when we are persecuted as Christ was. Christ rejoiced. He never turned a hand, did he, that way. He just took it and went on. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 18 and 19, if you'll turn back just a little bit, let's read that one. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. God's people, you and I, we are redeemed people. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. It is far more precious than gold and silver, and that will perish. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Now, if we go over back to Peter chapter 1, and let's read verses 22 and 23. Since you have been purified your soul in obeying the truth of the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. The blood of Christ is the only cleansing agent for our sins. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. We must be born again to be in God's kingdom. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. We are born of the Spirit when the Spirit through the gospel begots faith in our hearts. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We are born of water when we are baptized into Christ. Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Acts 18, 8. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, Paul said that Christ sanctified the church and cleansed it with the washing of water by the Word. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, Peter has already talked about how the world is going to end. That's going to be burned up. Then on down right past that, and look what he says. In chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, he said, now, knowing all this is going to happen, what manner of people are we ought to be? Now, if you turn your Bibles back over to 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As we look, we see that we are a peculiar people. You know, that's what the old King James, the new King James says, special people. We could say even people that's been set apart. We are different from those who are outside. We are saints. We are set apart from the world in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. The church is the called out. People called out of sin and worldly living. Now, I'd like to repeat that for my benefit. The church is the called out. People called out of sin and of worldly living. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Now, we live different lifestyles now than they did then. But the Bible still applies to us today. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, I think we all know what that says. He says, to live a what kind of life? We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable duty. And then in verse 2 of chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that's the way we ought to be. Now, our goals is different from the people outside of this door, isn't it? Our goal is to make heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. We don't lay our treasures up on this old earth where moth and rust can destroy them. We lay our treasures up in heaven. Our purpose here is to teach and preach the gospel of Christ. Mark 16:15-16, Matthew 28:19-20, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And if memory strikes me like it ought to, in 2 Timothy it tells us to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, be ready at all times. Study enough to know that you can teach someone. And not only that, and Peter also said, be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. Can we do that? I hope we all can. I hope we all can. You know, we have to have attitude too. But it's not the kind of attitude that most of the worldly people have. We need to have an attitude that we need to treat others just like we'd like to be treated. You know, we're to do good to all men. Galatian letter, Paul told them, said, now you can be good to all men, but especially to the household of faith. Now we will rejoice with those who rejoice, and we'll weep with those who weep. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, we are to be well-pleasing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, we are to overcome evil with good. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We are just temporary dwellers here upon this earth, for our home is in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now this old earth, this old place we live now, this old earth is just a bridge from here to eternity. Now we need to use this as a bridge to cross over, not to build our dwellings on and expect to live here. It's not going to happen because this old earth's going to be, remember what Peter said, this old earth's going to be burned up. So when we come to the end, the conclusion of this lesson, a ship must be in the water to be useful. But we need to keep the water out of the ship, don't we? What happens? Well, of course it'll sink, won't it? The church is in the world, but we must keep the world out of the church. Now, that's something that we all have to do. We have to keep the world out of the church. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says we're all going to have to sit before the judgment seat of Christ. So the invitation is yours with that thought in mind. Do you need prayers of the church? Do you need to come before the church to repent of something that you've done publicly? Excuse me. Or maybe you just need prayers for strength to make it through another 3 or 4 days till we can get to Wednesday or to the next week. Do you need anything? Anything. Please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Bring Christ your broken mind. So He will create anew, make all again. Your empty, wasted years He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring Him your every care, His power is great. trust in Him shall be desolate. Blessed Savior of us all, Almighty Friend, His presence shall be ours unto Thee.